Hello, and welcome back to Sunday Sermons, the official podcast of FMBC Houston. I'm Pastor Andrew Johnson, the senior pastor at FMBC Houston. We're so glad that you chose to download and listen to this episode. If you're ever in the Houston area, join us for Sunday service at 11 a.m. at 623 Crest.
Good morning. So Pastor Andrew was asked to preach at a local church, and he had it on his calendar. So he's a guest speaker at another church, so y'all get this guy this morning. So we're done with the Gate series, and we're not yet quite into our next series, which I think we're running through a book of the Bible. I was talking to Garrett this morning. I think one of the hardest things to do is when another preacher asks another to preach, and he says, preach whatever you want. I'm like, bro, whatever I want? There's a lot of stuff here. So this morning is going to be kind of personal. It's actually what God's been teaching me, and I've been learning in my quiet time over the last month or so. So it might look a little different than our normal, but hopefully as we dig through the text, it'll speak to you as well. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this morning, for your faithfulness, for your goodness. Father, you're just so, so good to us, Father. We just pray that at this moment, we just reflect on your word. Just speak through me as I'm a vessel, Father. Just pray you be with, as this is personal, just be with my emotions, with my mind, with my thoughts. Just help me to communicate clearly to people that I love. In Jesus' name, amen. Cool. So recently in my quiet time, I wrote, my wife let me have a day or two to go away out in the country, and I had just quiet. Some technology, it was just music, and then no other technology. And so in like middle of that time, I just wrote down in my journal, I don't want to do, I just want to be. A hip-hop artist, of course, I'd have to quote at least one, says, the present is a gift, and I just want to be. The great lyricist called Common. Peter Cicero, he's an author and a pastor, said, God opened my eyes to see I was a human being, not a human doing. I think he was also a dad, because that sounds almost like a dad joke or a dad quote. It spoke to me because I'm a dad. But this morning, the title of the sermon is just Be. B-E, be. The definition of be, right, it's an action verb. It's the action of being or existing. Ironically, being is actually doing something. It's the act of existing, being in the moment. So although it's just a simple two-letter word, you're actually doing something. And so this morning we'll be opening up to Luke 10, 38. And we'll see three key points using the word be that God's kind of been speaking to me in my life. So Luke 10, 38 through 42. If you will stand for the reading of God's word. Luke 10, 38. A lot of us are probably familiar with the story, but let's read it. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve you alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. You may be seated. So this morning, I want to look at three things. As you can see, there's tension already in the story. A person that's a doer and person that's just being versus doing. After years in the faith, and even if you're new to the Christian faith, I think most of us could say it's a lot easier to be engaged with activity for God than it is actually being with God, right? It's a lot easier to do stuff for God versus just being with God. So I think the number one thing I want to communicate this morning is to be in his presence. Just to be there, just to be available, sitting like Mary. Verse 39, we see Mary sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching, right? She just sat there, listened, hanging out. What was Jesus doing after a long road trip? Mary and Martha, if you don't know, their brother Lazarus was dead. Jesus resurrected their brother from the dead, and now he's coming to the house to eat. So this is a kind of a big deal. So I understand Martha. I'm a Martha in most of my life. Unless it's time to do chores in my house, then I'm a Mary. What? So Jesus, after a long trip of walking, is sitting, relaxing. He's at his friend's house. They're essentially family. You bring someone back from the dead, you family, right? You've been through some stuff together. They're kicking back. He probably has something to drink and eating some bread and hanging out. He's finding rest. He's kind of being himself. He is teaching, but he's in a house, so it's probably not on a platform. He's just being and teaching. What was Mary doing? Being. She was just chilling. What did it look like she was doing compared to Martha? Floja, right? She's being lazy. There's other Mexican words. We'll keep those out of the pulpit. She's being lazy, bro. That's why they think I'm a Mary, but I'm not. I'm playing. They think she's being lazy. Her sister's over there being a good hostess, and Mary's just relaxing, chilling, hanging out, right? Have you ever been so caught up in a moment with someone that nothing else mattered? Like you're around an individual or human being and you're like, man, I got to do this, I got to do that. There's kids running around. There's this, this, and this. There's a fire in the background. Who cares? I'm with this superstar right now, right? I know when we were first dating, it was like me and Vanessa, nothing else mattered. Who cares? I don't care about none of y'all fools. I'm over here with my wife. Well, future wife. Right? If you've ever met your favorite sports star or musical group, I remember one time I got to, it's an LA Symphony story. So there's a Christian rap group called LA Symphony, sidebar. And I got to book them and they came to a concert in Houston. And then I was lucky enough to pay for their dinner, guys. And I took them to Bennigan's. And there I was sitting next to Joey the Jerk, Cookbook the Puerto Rican, Flynn Adam. None of these names mean anything to y'all. I just thought they were funny. And in my eyes, oh, this is Elvis Presley, Michael Jackson, Drake, all in the same room. And I'm the one paying the bill for these guys. Oh, made my day. Nothing else mattered in the world. At the end of that dinner, I was like, man, they're just human beings. I realized I will never fanboy over another human being again. But in that moment, nothing else mattered. I was watching every time they chewed the queso and chips from Bennigan's or whatever it was, and I was in awe, right? Here, Mary is enthralled with Jesus, that he's everything, right? Maybe that's sometimes in our houses. That's some when a certain neighbor comes over, or your best friend, or your certain cousin. When we first got married, first Christmas, Vanessa was with our family. I was like, we got home. I was like, how was everything? She was like, you left me. I was like, I left you? What are you talking about? We was in the same house, but it was a Christmas, a Mexican Christmas with all the cousins. And it's true, I left her. At that moment, we were already married. So at that moment, she wasn't my main moment. It's my cousins that I see once a year. I'm hanging out with Mimito and Marcus, and we're cutting up. Nothing else mattered. I mean, some of the food and tamales and stuff, but I'm enthralled with my cousins and the time and the family. That's kind of the vibe that we get here. Mary is enthralled with Jesus. He's here in her house, and she's just being present in the moment with Jesus, soaking it all in, right? Dr. Gerald G. May says, most of us are in bondage to the attitude that passivity in actions, surrender, hold only to negative consequences, our minds are likely to panic if we try to force ourselves to cease making effort or just be, to let go and let God. We say that, but it's a lot more difficult. We are likely to feel lazy, irresponsible, or maybe even out of control, right? Mary, in this passage, wasn't being lazy. She was just surrendering to the King of Kings. She was being in the moment, soaking it all up. This was right before he's going to the cross, right? She was longing to be with her Savior. She was wanting to spend all of her time with him. The dishes could get done after he's left or asleep, but right now, she's sitting in his presence, right? There's no other place in our lives that matter more than being in his presence. The issue is there's a million distractions to keep us away from him on a daily basis. Psalms 46:10. You could turn there if you would like. Psalms 46:10, and many of us know this verse, says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." We must slow down. We're from Houston. We know what slowing it down looks like. We must slow down our spirituality. We're just going, going, going. Wednesday nights recently, we've been walking through the spiritual disciplines. We've looked at Sabbath, prayer, fasting. I know personally, this series has really uprooted our lives and really slowed us down a lot. And it's been teaching us just to be, to enjoy God. We live in a city. Ooh, if you ever step out of Houston and go to some little rinky-dink town, you'll see Houston's pretty busy, right? Or if you ever go to New York, and they're like, oh, it's so busy, it's so loud, blah, blah, blah. We're not New York, but Houston's pretty busy. When you step away, you see, wow, there's a lot of hustle and bustle. We're about to get into a busy season with traffic now that school is back in place. And just don't lose your mind as we get busy. The second thing I wanted to look at in this passage is to be in our identity in Christ. Being who we are called to be in Christ, to know your identity. How do you introduce yourself to other people? I guess it would depend on the context, if it's just a group of friends or someone at work. But some of us might be like, oh, I'm a manager, I'm an electrician, I'm the popo, I'm a pastor, I'm a former sports star, an engineer, a gangster, Republican, see what I did there, or Democrat. I'm just playing. Dope dealer, good person, whatever it is, X this, X that, how we identify ourselves. I'm Chicano, I'm Mexican, I'm black, I'm white, whatever it is, right? But have you ever lost your identity before? Say you lose your career, or you think you're a real Mexican until the real Mexicans pull up, because look, come on, guys. And then like, you're not one, and your little identity gets crushed. Or maybe we idolize our identity sometimes. I think many of us do. We find our dignity and worth in what our title is, whether it be at work or level of education or by the neighborhood we live in or whatever it may be. But as Christians, we have a new identity. We don't forget the culture. We don't forget where we come from. But our identity should be based after we sit in his presence. It should be in Christ and Christ alone. You can turn to Galatians 4:4. It says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons and daughters. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." We are sons and daughters of the King. Mary sat at Jesus' feet with complete confidence in her identity. The old Mary would have never sat at the feet of the rabbi. If you know, Mary was the prostitute and had her own life before Jesus, and she probably wouldn't even, we know for a fact, she wouldn't even be allowed in the room. But as the new Mary in Christ, she knew her identity, and her place was at his feet. She's family. That's her. That's family, right? She received the adoption. She now has the same rights and the same inheritance as Jesus. She's a daughter of the Creator Yahweh. Right? It should be the same with us. If we submitted our life, if we've given everything over to Jesus, it's the same. We can approach him the same, like a toddler jumping into their parents, right? Jumping into their lap. Like Neo sitting right there where Ricardo just, boom, passed out on his dad's arms. We just go and we're there. Beautiful sight, right? With no fear, knowing that God has everything in control. So recently, we went on a road trip to Missouri, which is supposed to be a 13-hour trip. And the worst nightmare that I could have happened, and I had a flat in the car with all eight of us in it. It was supposed to be a 9-hour road trip. We stayed in Fort Worth. One night, everything was great. The next day, we went to Cracker Barrel for breakfast, had pancakes and hash browns and coffee. We had full tummies, celebrated Vanessa's, her dad's birthday. And then we said, hey, we're going to see you later. We're going to Missouri. It should have been 9 hours. It took us, 13 hours. Because after we left Dallas, we went to Dude Perfect headquarters. That's for the kids. And then we went to Oklahoma, and midway through Oklahoma, the emergency light came on, and my tires just going all like that. Pull off to a gravel road. Luckily, God was gracious that about a month prior to that, I had to change the tire on the same vehicle. I had my big jack in the back. I already knew something might happen. Had all the tools. I knocked it out in about 30 minutes after some words in the sun and laying on gravel and the car falling off the jack two times because the gravel road did not connect, but everyone's out of the car. They were all safe. I'm over there sweating. I was bent over there. Some pictures looks like hot dogs in the back of my neck, just bald, sweaty man, all bent over. I was going to show the pictures, but I didn't want to do myself like that. So envision your dad on the side of the road on a road trip with six kids with a flat. I'm sure he was in the greatest of moods. And I was obviously not. It was stressful, man. But guess what my kids are doing? Chilling. They were just being. They had their phones. They were taking selfies. We have it documented. I was going to put it up there. I didn't want to put them out there like that. You see me bent over in the picture like this. And then they're out there like, and doing cute, and there's thumbs up, and I'm like, what is, I was like, I'm glad they didn't show me that day. I would have lost my mind, but I'm glad they were safe, right? Why were they doing that? Because they know their dad. He's going to make it work. They didn't know their dad was freaking out, like all the way out, but God was gracious enough that the tire and the jack settled, and it got on. Anyways, this is a longer story, but they knew the dad was going to work it out. They had complete trust that I protect them, provide for them. I'll look out for their best interests. They're Ortizes. They're Noe's kids. They're the Ortizes, right? Their identity is in the name. It's in the unit. It's in the family. It's in the legacy that they have as a family. They know the spiritual inheritance they receive through generations of faithful believers. So that's what's also helps keep them in line. Because they know their identity is something so much bigger than themselves. They belong to something greater, and their dad is going to change that flat. And I did. Because God works miracles. Amen. That's the testimony. They were at complete peace. It was crazy. And we should have even more confidence in our identity in Christ, right? I said they have their identity in their name. They're all mainly girls. Their name's going to change. So they're going to lose the name, right? But we worship the name above all other names. Whatever confidence we have in our family or our church name or our neighborhood name or our school name or our race or culture. Jesus is the name above all names. Our identity in him should outshine any family, right? When we look back, we're like, man, this might happen, that might happen. But you know he's got you. You don't have to worry, right? Mary had this confidence. He is a good, good father. He's been with us at our lowest, at our highest. He sustained us. He has blessed us year after year, trial after trial. He is greater than any earthly father, greater than any earthly father. I guess I put that in there twice. Peter Cicero, the author, pastor, said, what we do matters, but who we are matters more. I pray I don't lose that. I pray we don't lose that in church or outside of church, that we're doing this, we're doing that. But who we are in God, in Christ, as we sit at his feet, matters more than what your neighbor says about you, what social media says about you, or whoever, right? We're heirs, we should live as kings. Mary's worth was not in her worldly accomplishments or lack of. Her worth came from knowing Jesus and Jesus knowing her, right? The last point I wanted to see and speak on that we see here is just to be present. Just be present. Be in the moment, all right? Mark Buchanan, another author, said, busyness makes us stop caring about the things we care about. And not only that, busyness also robs us of knowing God the way we might. Verse 41. You have to find it here. But the Lord answered, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, right? She was so anxious. I couldn't imagine how anxious she was. God in the flesh was in her home. You think you freak out because your mother-in-law is coming for the weekend and you're cleaning up? Imagine God, Yahweh, Jesus coming to your home. I don't blame Martha for doing what she was doing. I would have been doing the same thing, right? It's easy to be this way, especially in the church or living the Christian life. But anxiousness and busyness get in the way of what God is doing. Jesus was being. He was there. All Martha had to do was just sit, be. To be fully present in his presence, all she had to do was slow down and just be. God was being so that she could be with him. It's a very intimate, vulnerable place to be before your maker, truly in his presence. That's why so many of us keep busy so we don't have to deal with our inner selves or our thoughts. And we just keep on going like everything is good with God, while all inside we're still distant from him, right? We not only need to be present with Jesus, but also with our neighbors. Matthew 22, 36. Matthew 22, 36 says, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest, great and first commandment, being in his presence, right? Loving him. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and all the prophets. So first we should be in his presence, know who we are in him, and then be present with our neighbors, right? We're supposed to love our neighbors. But how can we love our neighbors if we're not with them? This one might be a little tougher. How can you love your church if you're not here? If you're not present, right? We should be present at work, not just attendance-wise, but in the moment, right, with those around us. Be present at school. Be present in our neighborhoods. People should, if you're a believer, people should know you where you live, right? They should. That we're supposed to be the light. So even though some of us are more introverted and we want to stay away from people, people should know us and we should know them. And especially if we call ourselves a body, believe me, in the Mexican family, there's no secrets. Everybody knows everything. And we're not trying to put anybody on blast with their secrets, but it's because we're all together. We know each other. We're a body. And it should be the same as well here. We can't love if we are not present. Present in the grocery store. Even as simple as being present out in nature, in the park. Just being in the moment, listening, observing. We should be more woke than anybody in the world. We should be present to what's going around, all around us. Because we're in tune with God and He created all these things, right? If we met with His presence and we walked with the intentionality of being present with those around us, we'll be living out the two greatest commandments. Kosuke Koyoma, it's another book. If you see a lot of quotes, it's because I've been reading a lot, which is rare. But God's been speaking to me through these different books and scripture. And He says, love has its speed. It's an inner speed. It's a spiritual speed. It is a different kind of speed from the technological speed to which we are accustomed. It is slow, yet it is Lord over all other speeds, since it is the speed of love. Right? You can't love someone just running past them. You have to suffer. You're going to be interrupted. If you want to love your neighbor as yourself, slow down. Allow interruptions to come into your life. Be ready to share your faith, the faith that you know of, that we've been inherited. A lot, if you haven't noticed, if you don't know many of your neighbors or go out much, most people just want someone to listen to them. You don't even have to say much. But if you're present and you're there, they can speak and they see that. And then you're able to share the love and be there with them, right? But if you're not there, if we're not there with our neighbors or in community, then we won't be able to connect. So to wrap this up, to be present with your neighbors or to know your identity in Christ, you must first sit at His feet. We must lay everything else to the side and worship Him, submit, give up, die to yourself, die to your goals, die to the systems of this world, and lay those things at His feet, right? Your job, your family, your hobbies, your parties, your investments, your education, your new house, your bigger truck, it can all sit aside, because you know what type of stuff that is? Martha stuff. That's just busy stuff, right? Those things will fade. But to be Mary, we must lose our life. Give up. Forget about all those things. All that matters is Jesus and being in His presence. And then you're probably like, well, then I'm never going to have anything. And that's not how it works. Sit at His feet, right? In Matthew 16:25, it says, for whoever would save his life will lose it. If you're chasing those things, your life is going to be lost. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Does it say, go get you educated, go do the American dream? Go to high school, get your DD, get to college, get married, get a house, get this, 401k. And then seek the kingdom of God in your retirement? Nah, I didn't say that. It said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things. And I know you veteran saints are like, yeah. Y'all have seen it. Some of us young folk need to hear from y'all, because we're like, oh, we got to do this. And the reality is we need to seek His kingdom first. Because do we not believe that Jesus will give us above and beyond what we can imagine, right? Exceedingly abundantly, which many of us could testify to that, right? Another quote from Richard Foster says, in contemporary society, our adversary, the devil, majors in three things: noise, hurry, and crowds. If he can keep us engaged in muchness and manyness, he will rest satisfied. Right? That's how we think the devil is some cute thing or this little pitchfork guy or this and that. He's sneaky. He comes in busyness. He comes in noise and hurry. Right? It's small, but yet it takes over. He comes in phone every 5 seconds. I'm guilty too. I got it right here. I'm just making sure I don't go over my time. Did you see what they were wearing? No, I'm playing. Busyness, distraction, already distracted. Crowds, just over an abundance of all of that, right? But in John 10:10, it says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. When we sit at his feet, when we go before his presence and we just be, that's when we have more abundance. It's when we have peace. That's when everything lines up, right? We need to stop chasing this world and its system. We need to stop doing and just be. The doing will come. After Jesus is gone, guess who did the dishes? Probably Mary. Because Martha would probably help kept her in check. Like, hey, get to the kitchen. So the work is going to be there. The work is going to be there. But let's focus on what the most important thing is, and that's being in his presence, being with Jesus, right? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your body. We thank you for this passage. We thank you for these sisters that we see here as this example, Father. We thank you that we don't have to do anything. You've done it all. For that you came, you died, you took our sins away. You rose 3 days later. You sent your Holy Spirit to indwell in us so that we have the power to overcome the things of this world, Father. But all we have to do is be. Faith alone, by your grace. Father, we just pray for this morning for any of those of us that have never just sat at your feet, Father, never have tasted how good it is to be with the name above all names, the King of all kings, the one that knows us so deeply. I pray that we will give up on the things of this world, to give up chasing accolades, chasing reputations, chasing money, chasing individuals, relationships, whatever it is, Father, that we would just submit our lives wholeheartedly to you. Father, for those of us that have just been doing for so, so long, but then we forget just to be, I pray that you slow us down, that we would just sit at your feet and be in your presence so that when there is time to do work, when there is time and my neighbor comes over and interrupts my quiet time or interrupts my family time, that I won't be upset, but I'd be ready and prepared to listen and to share of your great love. Father, we just bless everybody here this morning and just pray that they draw closer and closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to Sunday Sermons. If you'd like to be notified for future episodes, go ahead, click that subscribe button and leave us a 5-star review in your podcast app. Remember, if you're ever in the Houston area, we'd love to have you to come to Sunday service at 11 a.m. at 623 Crest.